Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. My name is Alex Croson, and I'm alongside my co-host, as always, Mr.
It's me, Casey Clapp, Alex.
Hi, Casey.
Happy Petalpalooza.
Happy Petalpalooza. I'm celebrating privately.
Yeah, that's okay. You should celebrate on your bike, though, publicly, safely.
I'll celebrate on my couch, taking a snooze.
That is not celebrating Petalpalooza, Alex. All right, I don't know if everyone knows out there. Do you know what it is?
I knew it from you, but let's give some context to our listeners.
Portland is a bike city extraordinaire, and every year in June, it has this great event called Petalpalooza.
Yeah.
And it's put on just like grassroots. Like, I think it's Shift is the like the organization that kind of does it. But they basically put on a bunch of bike rides every single day, the entire month of June, and it's just a huge, gigantic bicycle-themed celebration.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I am very happy that you have it in your life.
Oh, thanks, Alex.
Because I know that you love it.
I do. It's so good. There's like, in fact, I did a Heritage Tree Tour one where I had everyone on a bicycle, and we just went to Heritage Trees. Me and my good friend Dan did that.
That's fun.
Yeah, we might do it again this year, but we haven't set it up yet, so we'll see.
Cool.
So be on the lookout.
Well, I hope you guys have fun.
Well, you're going to get an invite.
Casey, I do own a bike. It is broke as fuck.
Yeah, we got to get it fixed, though.
I just can't invest in that right now.
Yeah, that's fair. We got to focus on other things like our Lamborghinis.
Yes.
And, platform beds.
My Tesla needs a tune-up. I can't worry about my bicycle.
No, you're already at zero emissions. What am I saying? I should have known.
I drive a 2001 Dodge Caravan. Casey.
Tesla.
Okay, so you came to my house this evening to record this episode of Completely Arbitrary.
Via bicycle.
It's a fucking scorcher outside.
It is outside.
95 today.
Ugh.
Just stupid. And you surprised me.
Yes.
With a bag of goodies.
I did.
Of the fungus variety.
Morcella.
And they are called morels.
That's right.
Well, tell us the story of how you found these morels.
All right, I will. So Hannah and I, we were out over in the Ochoco National Forest, National Mountains, last weekend. And we were just hanging out. We found a nice little spot. There's a lot of people celebrating. It was Memorial Day. So there's people out there, like in their big, gigantic machine, campers and things like that.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of camping like that, not necessarily. And so we just were trying to like find this nice little spot to kind of tuck ourselves in and be kind of away from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really find it. We found this like big open field kind of prairie area. We found a lovely spot, beautiful stars and everything. And we saw the sunset kind of coming down. And we're like, oh man, we should go like just try and see if we can catch it from that ridge over there. So we just kind of walked up the road a little bit. And as we were walking, I looked down and I was like, lo and behold, what is that? And this little mushroom's popping right out of the duff.
Yeah.
And I was like that, and I did a little dance, and she was like, what are you doing? And I laughed, and we all laughed, and we sang, and then I pointed down, I was like, there's a morel mushroom. And then I looked around, and I was like, they're everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, just stumbled upon a tiny little grove, then found another one, like walking back to the truck again. Then we just spent the whole like morning looking around and found a couple more. So we just found a bunch of random morel mushrooms. Are you familiar with them? You seemed like you were when I gave them to you. I was not sure if it was going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
That they're like, whoa, what is it?
Right. I know of Morels. I'm familiar with them. And they're renowned quality. Everybody loves a Morel. They're very, you know, they're a prestigious shroom.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I've never once eaten a Morel, Casey.
I didn't know that, really.
Yeah, so
oh my God.
I'm going to be cooking these with my Lady True, and we are going to dine fine on these Morels.
It's such a good idea. Well, we're going to do it too. I don't think Hannah also has had one, so this is going to be very exciting.
Well, look at us.
Yeah. And here's the thing, though. They are a fungal associate of trees. Did you know that?
I think so.
Yeah, I bet you did because you're a smart fella. That's end of point.
What kind of trees do they dig on?
Well, they dig on a lot of different trees, actually. I'm not quite sure. It depends on where you are. If you're okay. on the East Coast, people say, or the Midwest, they say they grow under like elms and cottonwoods and oak trees a lot. And it's a little bit, there's like different species and different varieties of species that grow with different different tree associates. And those tree associates basically they grow in weird times, and they kind of come after there's a disturbance or something, whether that's like snow melt or someone digs a ditch and kind of disturbs them.
I see.
A lot of times over here they're associated with Douglas fir and ponderosa pine, and now it turns out white fir is what I'm finding them underneath a lot. White fir, grand fir, hybrid kind of thing. And they end up just growing, kicking it, and then something happens and they just pop up from the roots. If there's a big fire, that's when you can actually depend on them to come up, because
really?
They just litter the ground after fire. No one's quite sure why. It's somewhat unpredictable.
Okay.
But they see them consistently after disturbance. So the thought would be either the tree is stressed and it gives out some hormone that the mushrooms might be like, oh, something might be going wrong. Our honey pot might be going dry. Let's put out our spores and go maybe find a new location to live.
Oh.
Maybe. It could also be that the mushrooms just get that and they're like, well, a big disturbance came through. That way there's more likely or less likely to be other stuff on the ground. So now our spores can go out and just be free wherever they want to be.
Fascinating.
Yeah, no one's quite sure.
I like that first one. That's like, it's like an escape pod. Like, yeah. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Let's get out of here. Boop, 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 and they just splash away. Yeah.
Casey, we have a tree to discuss today that I would characterize it as gorgeous.
Oh, you would. You've been looking at pictures, haven't you?
I've been looking at pictures, and that's about as far as my research went. I've been so harried lately that, first of all, I didn't remember that today was Tuesday and that we're going to record.
Oh, yeah.
And then I didn't know what tree we were going to do.
Ugh.
And had to look it up on our list.
Yeah, yeah.
About 30 minutes before we started recording. And here we are to talk about the jacaranda. Jacaranda?
Yeah. I usually say jacaranda, but yeah. I don't know which one. I guess it depends on you know, if you're British or not. They always do the ahs instead of the as.
I think in some dialects,
yeah,
yes.
Probably.
We're talking jacaranda. I think I'm going to say jacaranda.
You say jacaranda. I'm going to say jacaranda.
Whoa.
And we're going to have people be like, oh, Casey, stop. Say jacaranda.
You say tomato. I say jacaranda. we have both such a lame sense of humor that we landed on the same joke.
Yeah, we did. Perfectly synced.
Well, Casey, let's imagine that we are just coming from New Zealand, where we saw the kauri tree.
Yep, that's right.
And we are traveling to where? In South America?
We are. We're going down to South America.
Well, Casey, how should we travel from New Zealand to
Ooh,
South America?
Okay, so honestly, I want to go by fishing boat.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but like fishing boat where it's like six of us and we always sing sea chanties at the end of the night.
I love this. And we all stumble off the boat. We got our sea legs and we have big beards.
Yeah, exactly.
And we rub our eyes because can it be land?
And then you're like, it is. It's South America.
And the first thing we see is a big, beautiful jacaranda tree.
Oh,
Casey,
beautiful.
Describe it to us. What are we seeing, feeling, tasting, smelling?
Ooh,
let's go through the five senses and the sixth sense. Are there any ghosts involved in this tree?
I think there are. This tree actually sees dead trees.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I like that. I appreciate how you did that.
I see dead trees right now.
Yeah.
In this wooden apartment.
It's terrifying. Now that my eyes are open to it, I'm disgusted. All right. So this is like a famous tree. If you look it up or you go to almost any tropical, subtropical city during the, what would be the either springtime time or the like return of the rains after the dry season kind of thing, where like it would mimic what we would have here in spring, where it's like warm and wet temperatures.
Okay.
You will get the jacaranda tree. Now, the jacaranda tree grows in native to South Central South America. But it has been so widely planted all over the place that it grows, and you can't say, well, during springtime it's going to do this because it's kind of a tropical, subtropical tree. But the thing that makes it that I just have to, we have to put it out there at the very beginning that people are going to be thinking about are the flowers.
Yes.
Doesn't matter about anything else. It's irrelevant.
Wow.
Look it up, everyone. The flowers on this tree are what have made it, did you know, Alex, the single most widely planted tree in the tropics for an ornamental tree everywhere in the world.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. You don't really, like, I don't even know the first temperate tree that would be that way. Probably the Japanese cherry. I don't know. No, I'm really, I'm, that just got me thinking. I'm gonna ponder this.
I've never seen your brow more furrowed.
Yeah, it's really like, you can even, it's like, it's almost so dark between those furrows are so deep.
Well, speaking of dark, deep furrows, let's talk about the bark, first of all.
The bark almost has no furrows. That's the funny thing about it.
Well, so you got to make a transition somehow.
I guess that's true. It was a good one. This actually looks to me, it looks like there are little plates on it. So it's kind of bark that grows up, and it looks like it's kind of like scaled armor a little bit.
Ooh.
But the scaled armor isn't like really intense. It's kind of like, well, you couldn't afford the nice armor. So you kind of got the cheap armor.
Okay.
And it's kind of flat. They not only do they break up horizontally, kind of V shapes a little bit, but they also break up like with these little squares. And so honestly, other than the fact that it has like texture to it, it's pretty basic bark.
What color? I mean,
come on. It's like a brownish gray, like nothing really fancy. Anyway, the bark is kind of nondescript. Like, there's not a whole lot to it. Now, it does have a really beautiful form where it grows up to like 25 to 40 feet tall. Hmm. Not really massive, but it grows up and then starts growing outwards. Really similar to the umbrella thorn in that it doesn't grow really tall, but it just kind of grows up and then kind of just fades out with these long kind of tendrily like limbs.
I have something to say about this.
I want
to
know.
I like a medium height tree.
Really?
I'm not all about these big, huge, tall trees.
Huh.
I can take them or leave them. They're fine. I like a Douglas fir, but I like a Douglas fir that I can see the top of.
Really? You want the whole picture. You don't want to just like see the, you want, yeah, I gotcha.
That's all what right. It is. I want the whole picture.
Fair. Well, you should, you've looked up those photos of this tree. I know you chose them. I saw them. It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, they're relatively sized.
Well, and they create like this because they're formed, they don't get too tall. They just get tall enough to like work great all over a road or the top of a house or something.
Yeah.
And then they kind of like come together at like almost a cathedral-like view, especially if you have like, it's called an allee where you plant two trees, one on either side of like a road or a pathway or something like that.
Oh,
where they
yeah.
frame the side of it, you know?
Yep.
And then they come over and they arch over the top of it. You get like this purple just tunnel, basically.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
It's super beautiful. I think I've only seen one time, and I didn't know what it was at the time, but like looking back in my memory bank, I'm like, wait, I think I've seen that. That was really gorgeous. They would use this not in the countryside, but more like in a cityscape.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is what we're going to talk about in a second, but let's first talk about these leaves of this tree.
Yes, leaves and then flowers.
Did you look up those leaves at all?
Yes. Casey.
What?
Tell they're me. Gorgeous.
Aren't they? They're kind of, they're bipinnately compound, which I love. Every leaf that's bipinnately compound, you got a leg up on all the rest, just because I think you're like literally twice as cool.
Very fern-like.
Yeah, exactly. And they, the, what's the tree? Mimosa is the tree that they're named after. This is Jacaranda mimosifolia is the scientific name.
That would have been a great name for our binomial bonanza game.
Oh, yeah. It would have been so hard to say, though.
Yeah, I would have fumbled that one.
Yeah, well, I would have tried my best to figure it out.
I'm sure you
especially
would
especially if you did Jacaranda.
Jacaranda.
Jacaranda. I think we should call it Jacaranda now.
Jacaranda is a good band name, too.
Yeah. Hey, what do you, what kind of music do you guys play? Oh, we're Yaki. We're Jacaranda.
Jacaranda rock.
Yeah, what would you play?
Me in Jacaranda?
Yeah, well, not you particularly, but like the band.
Oh, it would be a marimba and a saxophone.
That's it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Maybe a drummer.
Please make me. Yeah, but the drummer would only come in every now and then to like just go, pop, 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 pop.
Yeah.
Like a bongo kind of thing.
And they only show up like half the time.
Exactly. You don't need them.
That's Matt.
Yeah, Matt sucks.
He's like a YouTuber. I don't know.
He's a YouTuber. Well, that's the thing about these leaves is exactly that, where they're just super flowy. They look like feathers hanging on this tree.
Mm.
Really, because they're so small, they're only like maybe a half an inch or so, but there's per leaf like 40,000 of them. That's wow. I'm making that kind of up. I realize I can't just make up silly stats.
This is technically a science podcast.
Technically, Casey. I know. We say that with a lowercase t and a lowercase s.
Yeah.
Well, it has probably something like 70 to 80 leaflets per leaf, because it comes out, then it splits off, then it splits off again into these little teeny tiny pinnae. And each one of those is so small, but it lets in just a little bit of light. And now, I think we might have talked about this once before. That is a bit of a trick that the trees can play, where if you have a bunch of little leaves and you have them way up at the top of the canopy, then you have it lets just a little bit of light through, right?
Oh.
And you have a bunch of other little leaves underneath as well, and they get all the light that kind of bounces through those little gaps. And you end up getting light that's coming through the canopy in a really dappled way, where it's just, it's like, it's not dark, it's not bright, but you're clearly in the shade, but you're still like well lit enough to where you don't feel like you're underneath like the shade of a big dense tree.
Wow.
But then the tree itself puts on a couple layers of leaves underneath it in its canopy and lower down, so that it ends up basically getting extra light. So it hits all the light on the top, it hits all the light underneath that escapes, and it has maybe another level or two where it just ends up layering the leaves and getting all like extra efficient leaves, or extra efficient, I think I just mean to say extra efficiency. I kept trying to think of a third word. Damn it.
You know, brevity is the soul of wit.
Yeah, that's true. Man, I'm not very good then. Witty.
You are the exception to the rule, Casey.
Yes.
So is this a tree's way of like, and I you might roll your eyes as I'm trying to say this.
Okay.
But is this the tree's way of like, avoid like getting around shade intolerance?
Ooh, I don't necessarily think so. I think it would be more the tree's way of either, like, if you take a strategy and you want big leaves or you want little leaves,
mm-hmm.
if you have big leaves, it's a lot of energy, and it's also a lot of a lot riding on one big leaf. If you have a bunch of little tiny leaflets and a couple of them get hurt, the rest of the leaf is just fine. So it kind of compartmentalizes the damage that could happen. It also lets in more light. So I think it's less that, more of just efficiency, in the sake of, if you can, why shouldn't you?
That's an interesting strategy.
Yeah. And like, you get see a lot of trees do it, but it always makes you wonder, like, isn't bigger better? You get a big, gigantic solar panel to collect all the light, or you have thousands and thousands of teeny tiny solar panels collecting a bunch of light.
But that big leaf also takes a lot of energy to operate.
Yeah, and if you lose that big leaf, it's gone.
Shoot, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it has its pluses and minuses, but also if it was a super shade intolerant tree, or rather if it wanted to make sure to make other shade intolerant trees not able to grow underneath it, it would be better if it had these big leaves and it just blocks everything.
Yeah.
No light underneath it. So.
Okay.
But again, I should reiterate, the leaves are just beautiful.
Yeah.
But the flowers are the crème de la crème. The triumph. What am I? There's like the point, the raison d'être.
Oh, the piece de resistance.
Yes, please. And thank you, Alex. They are what makes this tree so outstanding. They are what makes this tree why, like, what it is, which is a tree that's planted all over the place. And it is like, because its flowers are so stunning, everyone wants them. And every time you look up like a beautiful, subtropical kind of thing, you're gonna see these flowers. For those of you who don't know, they are these, they're in the family Bignoniaceae, which I think is just one of the funnest families.
Whoa.
It's full of like lianas, are what they're called, which are like the vines that grow in tropical areas.
Oh, okay.
These like tendrils and things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So these big woody vines, like 90% of that whole family is just these vines.
Jacaranda is in that family?
Yes, they are, yeah. Jacaranda, another tree we have over here called the Paulownia. Well, I think it's actually native to China and Japan, but we have it planted here in Oregon.
Interesting.
And then a couple native species, specifically the Catalpa. But yeah, so that is the thing. And they're like these tube-shaped flowers, and they come out in these big globes. Like, they have a bunch of flowers all at the same kind of panicle, or the same kind of like terminal area on the very ends of the tree. And they come out with these, like, they all come out before the rest of the leaves come out. So it looks like you just have this purple cloud of flowers covering the tree. Some people think they're violet. Some people think they're blue. Some people think they're purple. Apparently, it changes ever so slightly depending on how healthy the tree is, if it's in a certain kind of soil type, or if you just prefer to see things in purple and you call it purple.
Right. Yeah, it could be all those things, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I'm 100% on board with that. Well, the final thing to add about these trees and what they look like is they have these cool little fruit that are really like almost these little nuts, and they end up kind of breaking apart and hanging while they're hanging down. So they look almost like, they almost look like you have kind of like a pierogi where you have two sides.
Yeah,
you think so?
No, I also know what they look like, but when you can see, okay. I'm so sorry. I raised my finger as if to interrupt you, but I was I was internal.
I see. All right. Well, they look to me like little brown pierogies where you kind of have two circles of dough pinched together at the ends and kind of big thumbprints, but then the bottom kind of splits open and it releases these winged seeds that'll like flutter out and just slowly but surely fall away from that little fruit.
Ooh, like a maple?
Yeah, kind of like a maple. If they were all encased in a suitcase, and then all at once the maple opens the suitcase upside down and all the little seeds kind of fall out like papers out of the suitcase.
That's a great visual,
Casey.
There you
go. That's what I think it is. It's a suitcase tree, basically.
Hey, let's call it a suitcase tree from now on.
All right.
Deal. We can agree on that pronunciation.
We sure can.
Yeah, I was going to say they look like fried sweet potato chips.
Yeah, but they seem too brown, a little overdone, don't you think?
Yeah, they're a little burnt. Well, Case, I would love to talk more about the Jacaranda tree. However, we have to take a break.
All right.
We'll be right back with more Completely Arbitrary. Casey.
Hi, Alex.
You know something about me?
I do.
And you do know this, that I love to be cozy.
Yes, that is very true. Unfortunately, I have to get you out of your bed to do work. Because our studio here is small.
Yeah, Casey physically drags me out of bed every morning. And you know what?
Slap a pair of headphones on.
And you know what I'm sleeping on, Casey?
What are you sleeping on today, Alex?
My brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
Oh, Alex, I heard about this.
And you know what I'm sleeping in?
What?
My brand new Cozy Earth jogger set.
Ooh, hold on. Let me get a feel of that. Not your sheet. I'm getting my own sheet.
That's right.
Ooh, this is smooth.
Casey is wrapped in his new Cozy Earth bedding. Now, Casey just returned from Italy.
Just got back.
Land of soft fabrics.
Exactly.
And he has waiting for him products from our brand new sponsor, Cozy Earth. Casey, what do you think?
This is incredible. I don't think I've ever felt something so soft and so, like, I don't know. It feels silky and smooth and it looks beautiful.
It's true, Casey. And you know what? I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth clothing.
Well, Alex, have you noticed anything about your sleep?
I have been sleeping so well. And here are some things I love about sleeping in my Cozy Earth bedding and my Cozy Earth clothes.
Yeah.
This is no longer officially an ad. This is just me talking.
Hey, everyone just come on in. Just come on in here.
Casey, it is temperature regulating, so I no longer have any problems with getting too warm, getting too cool, having to get up and shut the window, having to get up and open the window, turn the heat on, turn the heat off. I sleep through the night. Soon I'll be eating solid foods. And I have such a good time doing it. Casey, I know you've been traveling, you've been flying, you've been not sleeping in your own bed. I cannot tell you how excited I am for you to try this brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
I cannot tell you how much I agree. Just feeling it, I'm essentially swaddled in a sheet right now, Alex.
That's right,
and
you are.
I cannot tell you how excited. I'm going to wash this. I'm going to throw it on my bed today.
Hell yeah.
So if you want to be as cozy as Alex and I, then go to CozyEarth.com and after you purchase, enter the promo code TREES, TREES, to get 35% off. That's huge.
And Casey, how about this? All of Cozy Earth's products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. I don't have that kind of warranty on my tires.
I don't have that kind of warranty on anything.
So go to CozyEarth.com and use promo code TREES for 35% off. Now go and get cozy.
Yeah, you go get cozy now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a-blooming. Those people are a-walking around. That sun is a-shining. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again. And it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates, sit on a patio and drink a coffee. Ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted, even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring. Welcome back to more completely arbitrary.
Are you okay? Is this the what is this? This is the big version.
I just tripped a wire in my head.
I like that. That was a good trip.
Well, welcome back to completely arbitrary.
The more version.
Today we're talking about the briefcase tree, aka the jacaranda,
aka the Canada of trees.
Oh, Casey, why do you say that?
How do you spell Canada, Alex?
Canada.
How do you spell jacaranda, Alex?
Jacaranda.
Anda.
Anda?
Yeah, jacaranda.
Oh, R-A, not N-A.
Yeah, just like Canada. Canada. Yeah.
Jacaranda.
Yeah, there's the only difference is there's like two letters that are next to each other that don't have an A in between. But otherwise, Jacaranda.
That's cool.
I like it. That's why it makes me think of the Canada.
It's a fun mental connection.
There you go. Yeah. Now you'll always know how to spell it because you'll be like, da, 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 da,
yeah.
Canada.
Well, Casey, let's talk jacaranda and let's talk specifically something we've briefly touched on before, but we're taking a different angle today.
I think so, yeah.
And that's street trees.
That is right. More specifically, I'm going to say urban trees, but ooh. I think more broadly, we are making this conversation about street trees specifically. So I'll just cover it on my bases here.
Well, let's chat.
Okay, so remember how I told you earlier that the tree, the jacaranda, the Canada of trees, is like a ubiquitously planted tree across the tropics and subtropics, mostly in the cities, as an ornamental tree.
Yes.
So the thing about an ornamental tree is that it's usually not from there. Many times it has to be, or it's a tree that has been brought in.
Really?
Yeah. It's not all the time. It just kind of is a trend. You know, like if someone wants to go plant an ornamental tree here in Portland, it's very unlikely it's going to be our native trees.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the dogwood, because the ornamental means that it's like this big pretty thing, right? Yeah.
Well, you want it to be notable.
Yeah.
And if you have a home in Oregon and you plant a Douglas fir in the front yard with a courtyard around it.
Yeah.
That's not that notable.
Everyone's like, well, you just put a fence around another goddamn tree.
But if you have a jacaranda,
yeah.
I don't know if they grow here.
They don't, not quite.
A monkey puzzle.
Yeah, a monkey puzzle, or a big dogwood, or a Japanese cherries, you know, very commonly done, like a specimen tree that you plant in order to have this big pa-pow, you know, this thing. And so the jacaranda tree has these gorgeous, gorgeous flowers. They have this lovely scent to it. They grow in these subtropics and tropical regions. They can take just a tiny amount of frost and will grow really nicely in just such poor soils. All these things, like everyone who's thinking about this in terms of street trees, like, street tree. That sounds great. Has this ornamental value. It has, you know, just like any tree that exists, you know, the flowers are going to drop. They can be kind of slippery if you walk on them. They're going to drop these seeds. You know, you have issues. You have like little maintenance things. But overall, the tree's not that bad of a tree. If you're going to plant a tree in a tropical region, it's going to have wacky things that it's going to do. You plant something out here, it's going to drop nuts. It's going to drop leaves. You just got to accept it and move on.
Yeah.
The benefits are outweighing the costs.
It's kind of fun, even.
I think so. Yeah, kids love to jump in the things. Well, there's a dog I've seen on the internet that just loves to just fly and jump straight into big piles of leaves. It's adorable.
Is it a terrier?
I don't think so. For some reason, I think it was a golden retriever that did this.
Yeah.
Well, so this the jacaranda tree, it has all this appeal because of its gorgeous, like, ornamental quality.
Mm-hmm.
You can plant them in the streets, and they grow really well. You can plant them, you know, I'm going to just put out right off the bat, in the right tree for the right place. Like, make sure it has enough space. It's not underneath power lines, all that kind of stuff. But if you plant it in a 6-foot-wide planter space, it's going to grow great. And it's going to do fine. They have planted it almost literally everywhere you can think of. It's native to South Central South America.
Yeah.
However, it's been planted to a degree that's like people recognize it. In Italy, California, South Africa, Georgia, India, Australia, New Zealand, everywhere there's like a tropical or subtropical city, they have probably planted this tree.
Wow.
It's invasive in a lot of those places just because it's like the same climate. So it's like, if it's going to do well in one climate that's exactly the same as the other climate, you plant it in that other climate, it's going to do well.
Wait, how does that make it invasive, though? Doesn't that just make it a good grower?
It does, but it's invasive if it will self-seed and then out-compete all the other plants that are around it.
Oh.
So there's characteristics for an invasive plant where, like, it makes a shit ton of seeds, and those seeds all, like, just grow at a ridiculous pace.
I see.
And then it also, there's like a couple other characteristics, but mainly they're trees that just like blast out seeds everywhere and then don't really care to like live for a long time. They're just like, wow, I'm just going to grow. And they just like, you know, just blah, 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 all over the place.
I always think it's so interesting to learn about the different strategies these trees have. Mm,
yeah, we should talk about that. Well, we will, I'm sure.
Hey, that's a great Patreon episode.
Right? What is it? There's, I can't remember. There's K strategists and then there's another. Like letter strategist, and it's basically like something that puts a lot of effort into few seeds, or something that puts almost no effort into a million seeds.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, and they're like, well, a couple of them are going to survive. I don't care.
I mean, the metaphors there, or the analogies you could draw between that and like warfare, you know?
Oh, yeah,
like,
totally.
There's like so much fun stuff to talk about there.
Yeah, that and like, but just the other strategy for anything, like growing a business, making, you know, community, talking with people, like, you know, how many friends do you have? I have 1,000 friends, but I know their first and last names and that's it.
Yeah.
Or you have a very few friends and you know them better than you know yourself.
I wonder why I immediately jumped to warfare.
Hey,
I'm not a fan.
I figured it was a video game thing is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because these trees have all these little, these bits to them, they're planted all over the place. And let's say in most of the places where they are not invasive, they are a stunning addition to the landscape where they have this dappled shade where it's just shady enough to be very cool and like significantly less obtrusive than sitting on a pavement in a chair with a no sun or with no shade above you, just sun beating down on top of you, yeah. Right? At a cafe, especially in like Georgia in the summertime, you're going to be like, I'm going to sit inside. Thank you. Mm. Or outside in Portland right now where it's 95 degrees. It's like everyone wants to be underneath a tree. So let's say that you're a cafe owner and you are looking for a new location. You're like, I need to start my cafe again. I need to whatever. Let's start a cafe.
Okay.
And you're like, I want people to sit outside and I want people to come to my cafe. What would you do? What would you be looking for?
I would look for like foot traffic.
Uh-huh.
I would look at like economic, how much money people make in that neighborhood.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Keep going.
Okay. I would probably look, yeah, like how many trees are around. I like the aesthetic of having lots of trees.
Sure, yeah.
That's why I like living in, part of the reason I like living in Portland.
There
There's
you go.
Plenty of green.
Right. You maybe would be looking to see, like, are there other people and other businesses around that would also draw people to my area, maybe? Like,
sure.
a sort of an economic center or like a neighborhood center kind of thing like
uh-huh.
that.
Uh huh. How's my synergy with the other businesses
exactly.
on the block?
Exactly. Yes. So you're pulling together a lot of different stuff. And I know, obviously, you're going to say tree. Of course, I'm going to say trees too. But if you are not a tree person, you don't know anything about trees, mm-hmm. you are only an economic major looking to start this cafe. You're going to look at those first like two things and then maybe a couple other weird things you're going to think about. And what I am arguing here today, Alex, is that all of those things are related specifically to trees.
Now we're talking.
Exactly.
Well, tell us how.
So trees have a ridiculous amount of benefit and effect on things. So the last time we talked about street trees, we focused on like the literal physical things that they do. They have leaves that shade buildings. You don't spend as much on air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
They have big leaves and big canopies that grab stormwater. You spend less money as a city to manage your stormwater, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Meanwhile, that's all like these physical things. We can add a number to it. How much does it cost to, you know, not have shade on your house and you have to use air conditioning? We can take a tree away and we can see what the changes in the bills are. Whereas the tree's effect on people that is more of a mental or emotional effect
mm-hmm.
has a huge amount of value in ways that we can say, I'm going to put a tree here and now I'm going to charge you $500 more, you know?
Yeah.
We just know that when you compare this without and this with, it's completely different. I'll give you some examples to kind of like solidify this a little bit.
Okay.
If you are, and I looked up the value of things, and I found a really great, like, succinct list of statistics from the Arbor Day Foundation. And we'll have it in our show notes on the website, completelyarbitrary.com.
Hmm.
And they basically said, well, here's a bunch of studies. And then there's a couple other ones that you can find that kind of cite a lot of the same big landmark studies, one of which was done here in Portland.
Hmm.
What they have found is if you have a tree, mature landscaping and trees in your yard, your house value, the appraisal value of your house, goes up between like $1,000 and $10,000.
Wow.
The study that was done here in Portland, the average was about $7,000 between houses that had trees and houses that did not have trees. And they were looking at the actual, like, the cost of the house. It wasn't like, oh, the appraised value. They said, how much did that house sell for as compared to another comparable house in a similar neighborhood without trees?
Interesting.
So they found more trees, higher value. They also have found historically, if you are walking along a street and you want to go and stop in at a cafe or do something, you're going to say, well, okay, what is, like, where am I going to go? How am I going to, well, let's go over there. You're more likely to choose the over there that's underneath trees. And that has a bunch of different, like, psychological things that happen to it. One, as we said earlier, there's that physical aspect to it where you're just more comfortable underneath the dappled shade of a gorgeous little tree rather than sitting out in the blazing hot sun getting just roasted, right?
Sure.
That has a direct and indirect effect on your mood. It has an indirect effect on your stress level. You feel calmer. You maybe want to stay longer. Oh, I guess, you know what? I'm just having a really good time. I'm going to get a second beer. Yeah. I'm going to get another Frappuccino. You do that kind of thing, and then you're more likely to stay, and then because it does all these other things, you're probably more likely to spend money at the business just next door.
Interesting.
Because now you're having a really nice time.
Wow.
So they have these like really intense effects. Raises property value, makes a place more beautiful. It gives you the feeling of more of a situated and stable place, because trees like have this sort of, especially big trees more specifically, it makes things look like they're old and they've been there for a long time. And if they're old and they've been there for a long time, it feels stable,
like,
right?
It must be a good place to buy shoes.
Yeah, exactly. There's other studies that have shown that because it has this reduction in stress levels, you are happier.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've talked about this also on the podcast. What's the value of happiness? What's the value of reduced stress? What's the value of reduced anxiety? What are the values of not going to the hospital more because you are just calmer more often, and you don't get a little bit more stressed, you don't get high blood pressure, you don't have to take these medications, you don't have to keep seeing this therapist or this other thing or this thing, you know, you just add it on and add it on and add it on. And this is, I'm just coming up with random kind of, you know, what ifs here.
Mm-hmm.
But one of these other guys, his name is Jeffrey Donovan. I think we've talked about him before.
I thought you were about to say Jeffrey Dahmer.
No. Donovan, he's an economist here studying trees and urban forests in Portland.
Oh, cool.
And for the Forest Service, I think. But he also said, well, what about the birth weights? And talked about birth weights. And I know we've brought this up on the show before, but it all comes back down to this stress reduction, right?
Yeah.
So if these trees are so gorgeous and beautiful that you want people, they draw people there. The Japanese cherries in downtown in Washington, D.C., literally anywhere else in the world, draws hundreds of thousands of people. So if your business is right next to those trees, then you are probably going to get a little boost in business if you have these big, gorgeous, beautiful trees that people can sit under, can relax under, can have their pictures taken underneath, all these things. The jacaranda tree does this in spades.
Wow.
Imagine earlier we were talking about those big allays. So if you were, let's say, right, you live over here in Northeast Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a street that's close by, or one that's not, 28th Avenue. There's the one in Portland. It has all these, 23rd Avenue in Northwest. It has all these businesses lined up on either side.
Yeah.
Imagine in the springtime, there were these big just clouds and blossoms all throughout, like for blocks and blocks and blocks in every direction of these just big purple trees. And people want to go out and hang out underneath them.
Yeah.
They want to see that. They want to be involved with it. And they want to drink at your establishment. They want to get your sandwich. They're going to ice cream right here.
Yeah, both of those streets are pretty high density as far as the amount of street trees.
Yeah, they do. They have a lot.
I live very close to 20th. I love being over there, not only because like four of my favorite restaurants are on that street.
That's not unreasonable.
But it is something about, you feel, and I'm going to go out on a bit of a limb here. Not a pun.
It's a well-known saying.
Do you think that we enjoy being under trees in part possibly because we are descended from monkeys?
That's a theory. Like, people have brought this up.
Yeah.
It, because of our boreal ancestry, we almost are drawn to trees.
Yeah.
You know? But it also could just be that it's a more comforting thing because of that stability, you know, where it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I just kind of like sitting under this tree. You know, I feel kind of safe, you know? You know, like cats like to jump in boxes. I think humans kind of like to do that too.
Yeah, it's like being, I mean, if you we want to take it back even further, or I guess not as far, you know, sitting in a cave.
Yes.
Like something over your head, a roof over your head. A tree is a roof over your head.
Just
in a way.
Something that creates a little bit of an enclosure. Even if it is like a landscape architect would take this and think, it doesn't have to be a literal actual enclosure. We can just add these elements that make it feel like it's an enclosed space. A tree's a perfect example. And when you look up, clearly you can see through the branches. Like there's that dabbled sunlight. Like you're not locked in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you're onto something there. And other people have made those same conclusions. It's extremely hard to prove. Like you can just say, probably, maybe, we don't know. It's all like psychology or psychological. And then there's always going to be exceptions where there's people who are like, no, I just really want to be out in the middle open. Like I want to live and sit in my prairie. I don't want any trees around me. There's historically, there was the when the colonists in the United States were coming and taking out all of the forests, they were afraid of the trees because that's where the Native American tribes were.
Oh.
So it became a bad thing. Like, trees were bad, forests were bad, they were scary.
Interesting.
So the question then would come down to it, you know, back to your question, is it like some kind of psychological thing that's innate to humans to like to be under this, that then we are untaught via cultural and societal kind of values or non-values? Who knows? So it makes it really difficult to prove, I guess is what I'm saying. But a lot of people have had that thought. They're like, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
And other than that, like other people have said, okay, let's just take that off the table and just say, what's happening right now? And some people are like, well, it sends out different kinds of, organic volatile compounds, VOCs.
Mm.
And basically it's like when you break the leaf on a really smelly tree, you're like, oh wow, like you get that big blast of scent. That's the same thing, this organic compound that's now volatilizing, becoming more of a scent. And so trees will send that off for whatever reason. Maybe it's just what it's like. Maybe the sound of the wind blowing through the leaves is a little bit more comforting. Maybe
it's like white noise.
Yeah, precisely. And then also you just get that dappled sunlight. Someone told me at a nursery once that we were talking about the Norway maple. And I remember this specifically, that she said, oh, the Norway maple is one of the best trees to plant next to your house. Not because it would let in or shade the house. She said that if you're doing, I'm not sure if it was yoga or meditation, but the amount of dappledness that those trees, those leaves on those trees specifically provide is the exact right amount that you need to like put yourself in a perfect meditative state.
Mm.
Not too much light, not enough light, just moving around enough to like let in just the right amount of little shadows and, you know, light movement, that kind of thing.
Interesting.
I don't know. I've never actually found any anything else that said that. But
yeah, that sounds like a 70% completely arbitrary sort of fun fact.
Fact. We need that stamp.
Well, Casey, I think this is a perfect time to go into our review.
All right.
Of the Jacaranda tree.
I think we should.
You and I will assign the Jacaranda a score from 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. This season, honor is spelled H-O-N-O-U-R.
That's right. The internationally recognized.
And as our resident expert, we begin et toi.
Oh, merci. All right.
So did I say that right?
No, you said and you.
Okay. I'm gonna
say avec toi.
Let me avec toi?
Yeah, avec.
All right, let me try that again. And as a resident expert, we begin avec toi. See, I nailed it on the first try, Casey.
You did so good. That was incredible. It's like you're a native French speaker.
Yep.
Okay, so the briefcase tree. So the briefcase tree, in my opinion, is a spectacular tree. It is, because of all the things that I was just talking about, and which I should end by saying street trees and trees in public spheres are super important because of these reasons. They increase everything to the benefit of everyone.
Yeah.
And if you don't have it, it is a detriment to you and your community. So everyone should plant trees. Make sure it's the right tree in the right place. It may not always be a jacaranda. It could be some other thing like an oak tree with zero intense flowers, but you'll still get all those other really great benefits. People will sit by there. You'll want to put your hammock on your two trees in your front yard. So the jacaranda tree, I think, just like the hornbeam, which is the last tree we really talked about with the street tree thing,
that's right.
It does its job so well. Like, it takes these really intense places. It has its problems, just like everything has its problems. Nothing's perfect, except maybe the ginkgo. And it also is just so stunningly beautiful. I think I'm going to give the jacaranda tree 7.7.
Woo!
It's a 7.7. I have two reasons why I knocked it down pretty substantially. One, everything's on a scale, and we just did the Kari last week. Oh, I'm sorry, but that tree is incredible. We got to bounce back a little bit. You know, my dopamine crashed when I was looking at this tree, and I'm like, oh, it's pretty, but oh, man, the Kari. It's semi-invasive in some places, which is, you know, it's a big problem, like down in Pretoria in like South Africa, where it just kind of like goes kind of a little bit wild.
Mm-hmm.
I love the flowers. I think it's great. It's a one-trick pony, though, because the flowers, and that's it. It just kind of goes fukoosh, and everyone's like, this is incredible, and then it kind of has that dappled shade afterwards, which is really nice, but I wish that the fruit did something cool. Like,
Yeah. Give
me something more. I want to see the pizzazz, and then I want to be relaxed, lulled into a sense of calmness, and then I want another blast. You know, I need that crescendo at the end of the season.
Like if it grew a really delicious fruit,
yes,
that you could just sit in it and eat those.
Yeah,
something like that might.
You got it. Like the Japanese cherry or a cherry tree, boom, big flowers, and then you get to have little cherries afterwards. Yeah, it's like, well, that was worth it.
That's fun.
It's worth the wait.
Yeah. 7.7 golden cones of honor for the Jacaranda from...
These should be purple golden cones of honor.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Bright purple cones of honor.
No, bright purple golden cones of honor.
A bastardization of nature. From Casey Clapp. Here's my review of the Jacaranda.
Bastardization of nature.
I think it's really, really pretty. I love all of the different tones that it shows. This also might be from, you know, because I've only seen pictures, it might be just different cameras show it in different, slightly different, you know.
Yeah, I saw one that it was like super exposed or something like that. Overexposed?
Uh-huh.
I don't know the term.
Overexposed.
Yeah, but it was just like, whoa. And like the ocean was like purple and it was like, that's too much.
Oh, yeah, like the saturation yes. might have been turned up.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I'm gonna, after the Kauri, which I just adored, I'm gonna experiment with my cone giving here.
Oh, okay.
And I'm gonna shock you, Casey.
This is really exciting.
I'm giving it a 5.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your dopamine crash too.
I think it's a bit of a, I think it's a bit of a one trick pony.
Kauri got us pretty up there. 5.5.
5.5.
Okay, keep going.
I think that's it, man. I like the flowers.
I like your flowers. I guess that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. And honestly, that's the whole point. This is a working tree, you know? It doesn't have to be good. It's the Carhartts of the tree world. Every now and then, you wear it to a wedding, but most of the time, that's it.
Sort of a Mark Ruffalo.
Wow. A Mark Ruffalo of the tree world.
I think so.
I want Mark to be like, thank you. This tree's beautiful. Like,
why did you only give me 5.5? With his little pouty face.
Oh, poor Mark.
That was our review of the Jacaranda, a.k.a. the...
Canada tree.
Canada tree,
no,
a.k.a.
the Canada of the tree world.
The Canada of the tree world, a.k.a. Mark Ruffalo tree, a.k.a. the briefcase tree.
That's it.
Casey, it's time for a game.
Oh, I love a game. We haven't done one in like a week.
Yes, we've kind of settled into this pattern of we do a game every other week, and I think it works out okay.
We can't get him too overdone, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, Alex only has so many ideas. Well, Casey, today we're playing, I would say, maybe not a fan favorite, but certainly an Alex favorite.
Oh?
Family Tree.
Oh my gosh. I realized you told me this and I forgot in between you telling me we're going to do this.
Yeah.
We talked about it.
Your shock was real.
What a fool.
Here's how Family Tree works for anybody listening who hasn't heard it before. We are going to take a group of characters from some story or movie franchise or TV franchise, and we are going to assign these human people a tree. Okay. That best represents their characteristics and qualities. So, Casey, today we will be talking about the Justice League.
Oh, yes.
Now, here's the problem. You're not a comic book person.
No, but I watched it on Cartoon Network.
I am also not a comic book person. I have a passing familiarity with Batman because I think he's pretty cool.
Okay.
But I don't know basically anything about any other comic book characters.
Yeah, okay.
But so we're going to be stretching our knowledge a bit today.
Yeah. This is going to be fun.
Yes. So, Casey, let's start with the, I think he's an alien from another planet, Krypton.
Krypton. Heard of it. Love it.
His name is like Jal-El or something.
Oh, yeah.
But we down here on Earth call him Superman.
Superman. So he was born and raised in Iowa. Is that right?
Yeah, somewhere
corn
in the Midwest.
Farm?
Yeah, yeah, corn farm. Yeah,
yeah,
with
really,
the Kents.
Yes, yes, that's right. That's right. He calls himself Clark Kent.
Right.
He has two different, things, right?
Double persona, yeah.
Ah,
glasses on, glasses off.
Gotcha. He's a journalist, is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Ooh, okay.
So Superman, you know, super strength, he can fly. He does have one weakness, and that's kryptonite. So that's something to consider.
That'll get him.
Yeah. Grows in the Midwest. But also he lives, I think, in Metropolis is the city that we're seeing.
Oh, okay. Big city.
Yeah.
Okay. This is such a good question. All right. Do you have any ideas here?
I'm thinking some, you know, we talked about Zeus.
Yeah.
And we chose like a big oak tree.
Yeah.
I want to say something to do with oak, but also maybe that's something that's like tropical and like unkillable.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking as well. Like something that just keeps getting just bigger and bigger and bigger.
A banyan?
I was kind of thinking that. A banyan, like, I don't know, does Superman just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger? Does he just kind of like, he already is really super strong?
I think he's just the normal size of a man.
Yeah, all right, I got an idea.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the baobab tree.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, okay, so and here's I'm glad you agree. My rationale for this is that I'm thinking like there's two different sides to a baobab tree. I saw this in a, was it Plants? I don't know. It was a documentary by the BBC and the His Royal Highness, David Attenborough.
Mm.
And it was I think it's the baobab tree opening up its leaves. They do it at night, or its flowers. And like in a matter of like a minute or something, the flowers go from completely closed to completely open in these like gorgeous, huge, big things.
Okay.
And then the tree like goes from a completely deciduous tree with this big, gigantic base on it that's like huge, to this fully flowered tree that I think, if I remember correctly, Rafiki from The Lion King lives in one.
Oh, yes.
And I think that like, because it feels like there's a double personality where at night, it has these big gorgeous flowers that are like, I think bats and other little flying mammals get involved with.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't see them during the day. They like close up and they're like, mm-hmm, don't know what you're talking about.
Interesting. I like that angle.
Yeah, that's what I think. Not to mention, it's singularly huge. You can't kill it because it lives in the deserts of, what is that big island out in the east in Africa?
Madagascar.
Madagascar. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so they're just these big, massive trees. You can't kill them. They're super huge. They're super powerful. Obviously, their one kryptonite would be saws. Every tree's got that one. But yeah.
I would say a runner-up, just a big-ass redwood.
Yeah, right? Like
one of those 18-foot wide, you know, things that even a saw can't really stop that.
Not really, yeah. Especially now that we have litigation to help it out.
Well, Casey, next up in this lineup is Wonder Woman!
Oh, that one was a successful franchise. She crushed it. Gadot was her name.
Yeah, Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
I think it's actually pronounced Gadot.
Oh, damn.
Which is a little counterintuitive.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I know so little about Wonder Woman, but I know that she's strong and she deflects bullets with her bracers.
Yeah, yeah.
And
she's got that golden lasso.
She has the golden lasso of truth.
Yes. Oh, of truth.
And she wraps it around people and it makes them tell the truth.
God. I didn't know that last truth part. That's pretty insane. So you have to tell the truth if you're lassoed by it.
Yeah, and I think maybe she time travels. I don't know. But she comes from a clan. From an island of a clan of like Amazonian women.
Ooh, okay, gotcha.
So she's raised to be a kind of a warrior, like a Spartan, you know, raised from a child to be a warrior.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Ooh,
I'm probably
okay.
Getting so much of this wrong. And we are, I see our Patreon numbers are dropping.
Yeah, well, sorry, everyone. Send us your emails. Oh, right. So, okay. So I'm seeing like super powerful. Honestly, I'm just thinking of the Greek gods now, and I'm just thinking of Artemis.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty fair
relation.
Yeah,
comparison. Yeah. So I'm really digging the golden lasso of truth. I love that idea. And I also picture like a weeping willow where like, you know, you get wrapped up by one of the weeping,
bits
and you're like, I have to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they're also kind of golden in color. So it helps a little bit there.
Athena. Not Artemis. Like Artemis, but.
I do. Artemis is super badass.
I think the Athena comparison's a little closer.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. I think that's true.
More of a sword and board type.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I like the Weeping Willow.
You like the Weeping Willow?
That's great.
All right. Because I'm thinking I would just want something more powerful because I don't think of Weeping Willows as powerful necessarily.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm really like angling towards. Like I want something that's big and just you can't mess with it and it's out in the middle of nowhere and then it'll still lasso you if it wants.
Well, how about something that grows in the Amazon? She is an Amazonian after all.
Right? That sounds great. So that would be, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like some other tree that like has aerial roots, but all I can think of is another fig tree that'll, you know, wrap you up and then, you know, kill you.
A banyan?
Yeah, it could be a banyan.
I think she's a banyan.
She could be a banyan. Big, tough, just completely dominates everything around her.
And those aerial roots are much like lassos.
Yeah, they are. And I think you can actually move them. Like they actually hang down.
It's got to be the banyan.
I think we're gonna go with the banyan tree. All right. That sounds good.
Wonder Woman, banyan tree.
Ah, Wonder Woman, you're such a badass.
Casey, the next we have. If I had to have any fondness for a superhero,
ooh,
it may be this one.
All right.
It's Batman.
Batman.
I like Batman a lot.
The Batman.
Yeah, the Batman. Yeah, right. If you want to be like cool and origin story-ish.
I am.
They always do that in origin stories. They'll be like, "Did you saw the Spider-Man?" It's like, I see what you guys are doing.
I see. Yeah, because you don't. You're like, yeah, I see. It's not colloquial.
Yes. Yet. Yeah. It's not a household name. They haven't dropped the. It's like the Facebook.
Exactly. You know? Good times. The Arbitrary Pod.
The Completely Arbitrary.
We're still there.
Original fans call it The Completely Arbitrary. Yeah,
you OGs. Okay, all right. So this is Batman.
Do you want to hear a little bit about Batman?
Yes, tell
as
me.
As much as I know.
Yeah, yeah. He's from Gotham.
He's a playboy billionaire from Gotham.
Okay.
Lost his parents.
Oh.
He is a detective. That's Batman's big thing.
Ah, okay.
He's like a super detective. He doesn't have any actual superpowers, but he has enough money to make it seem like he does.
Ah, okay. There you go. Now that's an American superhero if I've ever heard of one.
Bit of an Elon Musk.
Okay, all right. Yeah. All right, this makes me feel good.
He wears all black.
All black, that's right. All black all the time. Hardcore.
He likes bats.
Yeah, he's pretty... Yeah.
Hey, maybe that's something. That's something to do with nature.
I was thinking about it. Like, that crossed my mind. Okay. Crossed my mind, it sure did.
How about Ooh.
Yeah.
I think when we talked about Hades
uh-huh.
for the other one, it was Hades ended up being mycorrhizal fungi.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What if Batman was a fungus?
Oh, it feels. I'm not convinced.
Okay,
like it feels like fungus feels to me like they're so underground. I guess, but I guess he kind of is.
Batman is like Christ hung out with sex workers and drunks.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah,
and
that's right.
Batman. Casey, the look on Casey's face right now is so fascinating
what do you
and complex.
Mean? I had to put all that together and be like, well, who did we just offend?
There's like 15 different emotions across your face. That was awesome.
Well put.
But Batman, Batman, he fights crime in the underbelly, and then during the day he goes and hangs out with the billionaires.
Yeah, up in his billionaire class.
Looks out the window brooding.
Okay, all right. We got to come up with something here. I like the fungus. I'm not against that. I'm not against that, but I'm trying to think of a tree, and I want it to be a black tree. Like, that's all I'm picturing right now is just a dark tree that fights things.
Mm.
And it, to me, makes it a big tree that has to be, widespreading, big enough that bats would, hang out into it or in it and around it, and a tree that, has tendrils all over the place. Have we said the Canyon Live Oak yet for some one of these
no.
things?
No.
All right. I think I want to do that one because the Canyon Live Oak is also a big, powerful tree because if I remember correctly, Batman's also, he's pretty strong. He's done his judo work.
Yeah,
right?
He's a martial artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so these trees they're hugely strong, massive trees.
Wow.
They grow in the wackiest places, off the sides of, they're the classic southern tree that grows out, has all the moss hanging on it. I know we've probably talked about it once or twice before. That tree, I think, is good because it's big and it comes down and it reaches out. And I imagine these branches, especially on the big ones, these big long hands, arms that kind of come out almost like an octopus and then go grab over on something else. I don't know. I just kind of feel that. I just feel Batman. But it also can be a dark tree. It's not that dark. It's kind of light, kind of that. Ooh, but I know they do get big enough and they start to decay in the inside and bats live in there because there's a lot of bats in the Southwest.
I think that works just fine, Casey.
All right. Let's go with that.
I think that's great. Casey, let's do just one more.
Let's do it.
And it's the fastest of the Justice League.
Oh.
The Flash.
The Flash himself.
I know one thing about The Flash.
All right. What
is
it?
He is fast.
Fast as hell.
So we are going with an invasive species here, right?
I was going to say that. I also have another idea that's going to be very controversial.
Okay.
I was going to think bamboo is the first thing that came to my brain.
Oh, that's great.
Because it grows really fast, and then it flowers once, and it dies. Did you know this about bamboo?
Mm-mm.
If you have, bamboo will grow, and then it will flower. Every single one of the species in the entire world will flower at the same time, and then they all die.
Wow.
Yeah. There's lots of different species, but you have a big bamboo that's been growing for 80 years.
Yeah.
It flowers, dies.
No kidding.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
It's a bit of a bumblebee scenario.
It is?
You sting, you die.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Once you hit your crescendo, your raison d'être.
Wow.
Raison d'être.
Well, that was Family Tree. Justice League Edition. Casey, it's time for a completely arbitrary Q&A.
Yes, let's get it done.
And this week, we have an accidentally relevant email.
Hey, that's how all of my emails are.
This question is from Lindsay Ryan. Lindsay writes...
Hello, Lindsay.
While you're on your world tour reading this email, says Lindsay, I've got a question for you. You talk a lot about European and Asian trees being brought to the U.S. for ornamental or food reasons. Are there any native U.S. trees that were introduced in other parts of the world for food or their ornamental value?
Oh.
And have any of them become invasive in different parts of the world? Your fungal associate, Lindsay Ryan. Lindsay, great question.
Great question. The jacaranda tree. Perfect example.
Is a U.S. tree?
Oh, I guess it's not technically.
We need a native U.S. tree that grows in, that is planted and it is invasive in other parts of the world.
Oh, that's so hard.
Like in Japan, are they like... Look at this beautiful Douglas fir.
Like, we hate this thing.
Wow, that's amazing. It's so foreign.
Yeah, I think that the either the Douglas fir, maybe the Sitka spruce is like that over in England.
Okay.
I guess I don't know because I haven't gone out and explored and heard people be like, I hate this tree because of this. So I really don't know. I can't give you a good answer.
Okay.
The fact is, yes, that's 100% the case. I'm sure of it. I just don't know which ones.
Great.
Because every tree, if it does well over here and you plant it in almost the same exact conditions, but it does not have any of those natural checks, whether the temperature or a native insect or something like that, then they're going to inevitably, there's going to be one that does it. I don't know which.
Given the right circumstances and set of, you know, the right vibe, could any tree be invasive?
Potentially, yeah. I think it would be... For some, it's a lot harder. So remember how we were talking earlier about the different strategies that trees take? If they just put out a few acorns a year or a few whatever fruit, and then it can't be invasive just because it doesn't grow fast enough everywhere.
I see.
But if you are the kind of plant that does just put out bum ba bum ba bum ba bum, just hundreds and hundreds and thousands of different fruit, then you're more likely to be invasive because you have thousands of new brood coming up each year potentially, as opposed to maybe just hundreds or maybe just tens, you know?
I see.
So any tree could be invasive, but the invasive quality also comes with it outcompeting other native species and then taking over those like habitats. So I know that there is. I would just have to look and like see. In fact, anyone else who's over across the anywhere else in the world, do send us these because this it's a limitation for me specifically being, you know, based in the U.S. and not having gone out and with the or not had the opportunity to go out and really like dive into the forests of other places. Like I've walked through the cities and I've done some hiking here and there and I've seen these kinds of things, but not enough to be like, what are the issues and problems with your, you know, forestry system or your horticulture system? I know they're there and I've heard little bits here and there, like where someone say, oh yeah, that tree sucks. It's super invasive. I'm like, well, not over here. Like it's not a big problem. Maybe over there, like barberry in the Northeast, huge problem. Over here, nothing. Like it's barely, I mean, it's just a huge problem because we plant it in dumb planter strips.
You know what we should do, Casey? If you are listening to this and you are from Germany or Ghana or Mongolia, and you are you saying to yourself, oh my God, right down the street, there's a bunch of these trees from the U.S. that are like taking over the entire block. Please send us a photo and an email at arbitrarypod@gmail.com. And we'll make like a we'll make a post about it.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, well, if we get a bunch, and I'll do some research here, and hopefully we'll give a little bit of an update in the next episode or two.
Ooh,
how exciting!
How fun! This stumper of a question turned into a series of things happening.
This is gonna be exciting. I love looking up trees.
Yeah, I know this about you, Casey. Lindsay, thank you so much for your question. If you have a question about trees, email us at arbitrarypod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at arbitrarypod. That's A-R-B-O-R-T-R-A-R-Y. Another Canada word, Casey.
You're so good. It is. It totally is.
If you want to support the podcast, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/arbitrarypod. Casey.
Alex.
A pleasure as always, my friend.
As always. Is that a left-handed handshake from afar?
I did an air shake.
And I refused.
Thank you so much for listening to Completely Arbitrary. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp. Our production consultant is Olivia Frankie. Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by The Mini Vandals. Thanks for listening.